The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
You got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Let's see. 1 John chapter 1. All right. While you're turning there, verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I love this. Tim Keller, he used this example to show us how to find ultimate joy and ultimate satisfaction in Christ. And he says this: do you remember when your mother used to say, "Don't eat candy before meals"? Why did she say that? Well, all right, this is Glenn. Okay. Where was I? Oh, not to eat, don't eat candy before meals. Why did she say that? Because she knew it would ruin your next meal. And the trouble with eating candy is that it gives you a sugar buzz. And this is what I think is really interesting about sugar. You get this sugar buzz, then you don't feel hungry. Candy is one of those things that actually will mask the fact that your body needs proteins and nutrients and vitamins. And the sugar buzz from candy masks your hunger from the real nutrients that you're not getting. So that's why mom says not to do this, right? Things like power, money, success, pleasure, as well as favorable circumstances, in a lot of ways operate in life like spiritual sugar. See, Christians who have these spiritual candies may say, sure, I believe in God and I know I'm going to heaven, but they're actually basing their day-to-day joy on favorable circumstances day-to-day. Okay, so think about that. A lot of people, we base our joy, the joy that we have, we base that upon circumstances in our lives. And what happens is circumstances change. And when circumstances change, all of a sudden, there's no joy. Now, here's the problem. The problem is that true, genuine, biblical joy never changes. Because our joy is based on a God who never changes. See, joy is something extraordinary. And I continue to just sit and wonder when I think about this thing called joy. I mean, at least for me, it's that way. I don't know if it's like that for you. But have you just ever sat deeply or thought deeply and think about what James really means and the depth of his meaning when he tells us to take joy when you face trials of many kinds? See, that's an extraordinary statement, I think. Paul says the same thing. Paul tells us to rejoice in our sufferings. Now, if we think about society today, we think about our world today, when we think of outward circumstances, suffering, trials, tribulations really aren't things that people normally rejoice over, right? I mean, you don't normally see people. And when you see people like, oh my gosh, I had like the worst day of my life. This happened. You're just listening to all these horrible things that happened. And I rejoice over these things. We look at the individual and just like, okay, maybe we need to go to the hospital. It's just not normal in society today. But essentially, that's what the Apostle Paul, that's what James is telling us. To rejoice when we face these trials. Take joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. Do you know this thing that's really interesting? Jesus tells us that in this world, we are going to experience tribulation, Jesus also said that the world is going to hate us because of him. And I mean, to me right there, that's just, man, tribulation in this world. And not only that, the world is going to hate us because of Christ. And then he says, but we would receive the joy that he himself possessed. Wow. Isn't that extraordinary? That we receive the joy that he himself possessed. And we would have real satisfaction, real exaltation, real strength. So you see, there is something clear. Now, just bear with me for a minute. There is something clear and definite that we see in the scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, all throughout the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, even in books like Isaiah and especially the Psalms, God's people in this world are supposed to be full of joy. All right, fasten your seatbelts. Because what we really see is it's not even just God's people are supposed to, it's the Bible, the Word of God, calls his people to be full of joy. So what does that mean? We're called to it. So we should see the undeniable truth that we Christians today, we really have no right to be discouraged or unhappy about how things are in the world. Do you see what that means? When we're called to it, when we're commanded to it, when we're urged to it, it's not like it's an option. And this is the thing, this is what I'm saying. You sit there and you think deeply about this stuff. Man, we are not supposed to be walking through the world, moping around. Yeah, bad day. I went to church this Sunday. Oh, yeah, how was church? It was all right, I guess. But, you know, it's Monday, and, you know, Mondays, I don't like Mondays. Mondays are just horrible. You know, Blue Monday, you know, that's how it is. And then we just moping around, wishing. We are not called to be that. We're not called to be that way. And this is the thing that I think is really absolutely amazing to me, is when I was really young, there was this one friend of mine who is, he's an evangelist, and older friend of evangelist, and he used to say stuff to me like this, and I'd be walking around, moping around, you know, because I got like a bad grade on my test or something, and he goes, you know, Shane, he goes, you're a Christian, you're a young Christian man, you're in Bible college, and you're going to be a pastor one day. I was like, yeah, and he says, you know, and when you be a pastor, you want to reach out to people, don't you? Yes, you want to evangelize. Yes, absolutely, I want to do that. And he said, well, you know what, brother? If what you got doesn't make you smile, don't be surprised when nobody else wants it. Joy. We are called to be joyful. And here's the thing, let's think about this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All authority. This is the day that the Lord has made. So what are we supposed to do? Mope around, drag our feet, you know, whine all the way to the mall so you can get some dipping dots to make you feel better? We are to rejoice and be glad. Why? Why is it, Christian, that we're supposed to be this way? Why are we expected to be this way? Why are we commanded to be this way? Do you know why? Because joy, foundational to joy, is this word called satisfaction. People who are full of joy are people who are fully satisfied. And you know what you're telling the world? You're telling the world that Christ is not enough. I am not satisfied with Christ. Do you know that joy, foundational to joy, is this thing called exaltation? It's exaltation. When you're joyful, there's exaltation. We are telling the world that Christ is not enough, or he's not worthy to be exalted in every single situation. You know what else is foundational to joy? strength. Strength, oh yes. Joy brings strength to overcome all, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's look at this more today. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. The Word of God declares, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you that you said in your word that your word will accomplish your purposes. And so, Lord, I pray to see all that you have intended and all that you desire to see accomplished today. Here today in us, we thank you that it will come to pass and it will be complete. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at today is just how vital biblical fellowship is to the life of a Christian. Okay, it's very important we understand that. The second thing we're going to see is we're going to explore a little bit about the nature of joy and just how important it is to overcoming the patterns and the deceptions that we are given by the world. And the last thing we're going to see is just how wonderful the expression, the foundation, and the encouragement for joy of a Christian is found and always will be found in Christ and in Christ alone. So what's the thesis today? Again, the thesis is me trying to summarize the entire sermon in one sentence. Though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to lose hope because of the emptiness of the promises of the world and even the lifestyle it promises, it is the good news of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause us to face suffering and persecution, joyously proclaiming, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, that's a powerful thing right there. I want us to get that. It's powerful. I love that. You know, when you see what Job went through, you know, we sing that song all the time, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and he takes away." I mean, can we stand there and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," when we're faced with that kind of trouble? This is called joy. Joy that we find in the Lord. Okay, so before we get to the joy, let's go through the first point that he's talking about that actually plays in to this thing called joy. Number one, fellowship. Okay? Now, fellowship means far more than we might think. Okay? Now, here it is. After the apostle gives us this beautiful introduction, I hope that you were as blessed last week as I was with that introduction. Just how amazing that introduction was, how he informs us that he is an eyewitness and an ear witness to Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh. And now he wants to tell us why. In verse 3, look at verse 3. "We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard." So he's an eyewitness and an ear witness, "that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So let's talk about fellowship a little bit today. Now, this word in modern evangelicalism today has been used much. We've heard it. We've heard it all the time. But what happens is I think that maybe over the years, at least from what I have seen over the years, it seems to have maybe lost its meaning, its full meaning. It's begun to thin with what it is. I mean, fellowship, a lot of times today when it comes to the church, we look at, you know, we had great fellowship. We went out and we had coffee today. got together, we had coffee, we talked, we had a great time. You know, we had fellowship today, we went out to lunch. You know, we talked, we did a Bible study at lunch, it was really great. Going downstairs to eat donuts and have coffee before service, wow, that was great fellowship. Even coming over to our house after service, and you all are invited, come to our house, have a barbecue, and we say that's great fellowship, or going over to someone's house, having dinner, playing games, watching movies, these are all great ways and great opportunities to have fellowship. Okay, it's great. This is not to say that any of that stuff is bad. It's great. If you're doing it, keep doing it. It's great. But what we've got to understand is the word that he uses here means more than just hanging out. Okay? Now, many of you have heard it. It's a very, very famous Greek word, right? The Greek word he's used there is koinonia. Heard that before, right? Koinonia, fellowship. We got to have good koinonia. I mean, some people even say koinonia. Let's go out and have koinonia. Do you guys remember that when you're young? Let's go have koinonia. Oh, you don't remember that? When I was younger, he said, today it doesn't happen much anymore. I mean, you go out and tell somebody, hey, let's go koinonia. They think they're talking about the Denver Mint or something like that, you know? So, what it's talking about is it's talking about participation, fellowship, which is the act of sharing in the activities or privileges of an intimate association or group. Now, so you see, it's so much more than just hanging out. I mean, going out and having coffee with somebody is great, but we are called to so much more than that. When we go out and we have coffee, do you realize that we're called to do so much more than just, hey, Shane, you know, I'm having this major problem, this issue, and all these things are bad, and they're sharing that with us, and we're called to do more than just sit there. Now, I'm not saying don't do this, but, you know, it's more than just, hey, you know, I hear you, and you know what, I'm going to pray for you. I'll be praying for you this week. It's more than that. It's not just praying for the individual, but we are to join them and share in their sufferings. Now, many of you I know are thinking like, whoa, okay, there it is. That's, you know, going out to coffee, that's one thing. But Shane, actually sharing in their suffering, making their issues my issues and sharing that, I got to draw the line somewhere. You know, that's a hard one, right? But do you know that is what we are called to do? To not just sit there and pray. And I wonder sometimes if we feel like, you know, and we need to repent if we're doing this. But sometimes I just wonder, and I'm guilty of it too, because I think it too sometimes. You know, somebody's asking for help, and we know we can help them. We know we can, but we don't. And we think, oh, you know what? I can do something about this, but you know what? I don't really want to do anything about this. But you know what? I'll make myself feel better, and I'll pray for him. I'll pray that God does something to help that individual. You know what I always think with that? I get really convicted with this all the time. What if your ability to help that individual was how God wanted to help that individual? Oh, you didn't think I was going to be running through your house this morning, did you? I'm wiping my shoes all over your carpet. Fellowship. And here's the thing that's interesting. Only believers in Christ can have this kind of fellowship in Christ. Now, here's the thing. We may have friendships with this in the world, people that aren't Christians. I got friends, good friends who are not Christians, and I've got friendship, but only Christians share the kind of genuine fellowship with each other and with the King of Kings. So you see, koinonia has two focuses. There's a horizontal focus to fellowship, and there is a vertical. I did horizontal this way. Horizontal and a vertical. Okay? Focus to fellowship. Okay? So fellowship is with other believers, horizontal, but it's also with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of the fellowship that we have as Christians. It's not just with each other, but it's also with our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Absolutely phenomenal. The reason why this is important is if you look throughout all of religious history, if you just look at the history of religion, all the different religions, it is man has this need, the mad dash for man to try to bridge this chasm between man and God. We feel it, that separation, that gap, the canyon, the chasm that's there, the separation, the clear separation that we feel. And so what we're hearing today is this. In the news that we're hearing in the gospel that John is giving us today, is that bridge is Christ and Christ alone. And it will continue to be. And he continues here. What he also implies in this passage, and he's going to make this clear in the letter as we go, that fellowship with God is not possible apart from fellowship with Christ. Now, this is a big, big deal for us to get today. It's huge. It's huge. Because I can't tell you how many times, you know, you're driving around and you see the coexist bumper stickers and the continued slogans about all faith. All faiths point to Christ. All faiths point to God. Every faith will get you to God. Oh, it all leads to God. You know, and I'm sure you've heard this before. Seen the TV commercials, you know? And it was like, I remember when we were in Hawaii, there's this big thing in Hawaii. They call it the Spirit of Aloha or something like that. And what it was it was a gathering of all different religious belief systems. There were Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims and Hare Krishnas and spiritualists and Zoroastrians and, you know, all these different types of belief systems. And the whole thing, it was pretty successful. The whole thing was done at Aloha Stadium. You guys know Aloha Stadium if you ever watched the Pro Bowl, which is not actually there anymore, but it used to be. That was the Pro Bowl. It was there, and they pack out Aloha Stadium to do this Spirit of Aloha with all these different religions from all these different churches all over Hawaii to come together. And I remember receiving the phone call where they said, "Hey, Pastor Shane, we saw you on TV, you know, all this stuff, and we hear you on radio, and we would like for you to come to be one of our main leaders that will come and meet in the center of the stadium to say a few words and to pray for the Spirit of Aloha to sweep over our state." And I was just like, "Can you tell me what this thing is again?" You know, and they started to explain to me. And I'm just like, "And so we have you standing in between a Hare Krishna guy and a Buddhist monk," was where my position was going to be. And I said, "You know you're calling a Baptist pastor, right?" That was the first question. And I started laughing about it and all this stuff. And they were just like, "Well, see, Shane, this is the thing. This is what the whole Spirit of Aloha is about. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to lay down our differences under the Spirit of Aloha. Lay down all our differences under the Spirit of Aloha. Put it all down and to celebrate together, because you know we are all going to be with God." And then I was just like, "Whoa, okay, here we go. Well, here's the problem. We don't all know that." And I said, here's the thing. I said, I have no problems doing any of these kind of interfaith, interreligious meetings and stuff like that, but I will be a part of it if we are going to talk about our differences. I am not getting together with any of these groups to lay down my differences, because there's nothing else for me to unite under. And I told him flat out, do you know why? Because there is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Period. So no, I'm not going to sit there and pretend. I'm not going to stand there and pretend like we're all going to end up in the same place. The bottom line, the reality is that's not true. It's not going to happen. I can't stand there and lie to all the people at the stadium. The reality is, family, is that all roads don't. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's what John is expressly stating here, showing us. There is no fellowship with the Father if you don't have fellowship with the Son. If you want nothing to do with Jesus, then you've got nothing to do with the Father. And if you want everything to do with Jesus, but you want nothing to do with the Father, people be like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Really? People believe that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love the loving, merciful Jesus, but I don't like that wrathful God in the Old Testament that sends people to hell. You know? Oh, okay, so see, there I showed you. There are people that are that way. You cannot have Christ without the Father. You can't. That's a clear thing. You cannot have, and that's what John is making very clear here. If you want to be in this fellowship, it's going to be with the Father and the Son. It's going to be with the Son and the Father. And whoa, let me throw something in here. And His church. So I want to touch on this just briefly. One of the things that has been pretty disturbing to me over the years when it comes to, you know, people today are having a hard time with the church today. They are. Okay, let's be honest, right? I mean, we see church attendance in all over the world that's in decline. Well, not all over the world. Some places in the world it's doing great. But in America, it's on a decline, okay? And some people are even looking at even America in a lot of ways 10 years ago as a post-Christian culture. And this is what I'm finding that's really interesting today. I don't think America is a post-Christian culture anymore. I think we're in a place where, for a lot of people, they haven't even heard Christianity at all. It's phenomenal to me. I almost feel like we're more like exiles in a strange land. That's how bad I feel like things have gotten, especially when it comes to conversation. So either you're going to get hostility towards Christianity or you're going to get absolute ignorance when it comes to any of this stuff. It's absolutely amazing, this dynamic that we've been seeing. So one thing that's happening is, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. And I know probably many of you got this, and you guys hear it. Some of you are hoping that this is going to be your retirement, you know. But the idea is, you know, hey, that's okay. I go to church. I have church at home. You know, that's what I do. I just have church at home. And I remember a couple of times I busted families because, like, dads would do that. And dads would say, oh, you know what, well, we don't come to church all the time because, you know, technically we just have church at home. That's what we do. We have church at home. And we're getting that. And then I'll secretly ask the kids, hey, what do you guys do on Sundays for church? What do you mean, Sundays for church? Well, dad says that you guys have church at home. And she goes, no. Well, you guys don't pray? No. You guys read the Bible? No. No, we watch football. Like, whoa, you just told on dad. But here's the thing. This is what I get a lot, and we got to make sure we get this right. I am with Jesus, and I am fellowshipping with Christ when I'm at home. I don't need the church in order to do that. Have you guys heard this before? I don't need the church in order for me to be able to have a relationship with God, in order for me to worship God. You know, the thing that strikes me as absolutely amazing is in Scripture how Christ so identifies himself with the church that to actually reject the church is to reject Christ. Well, what do I mean by that? Remember when Saul at the time, Saul of Tarsus, was on his way on the road to Damascus, and boom, Christ appeared, and he falls off the horse, and he's blinded, and he's just like, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Remember that story? Well, Saul wasn't persecuting Christ himself. Who was Saul persecuting? The church. Absolutely, Christians. He was persecuting the church, and he was persecuting the church, and that's why, and Jesus said, why do you persecute me? Fellowship. So you see, this whole thing is organic. You can't even have the vertical without the horizontal. You can't even have Christ without his church. And I know that's hard because people are like, oh, but Shane, you know, there's bad churches. Oh, yeah, of course there's apostate churches. I get it. I see. They're out there. Okay, so that's why it's important for us to be able to tell the difference between a true church and a church that's not true. Okay, but if it is a true church, that is fellowship with Christ. And you can't keep yourself away from that. Okay, I was on that a little bit longer than I wanted to. But here's the thing that's amazing. We are partakers and fellowship, or we're in fellowship with our Lord Jesus. And so what this means is that we get to share koinonia fellowship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get to share in everything. Can you say inheritance? We are partakers of his divine nature. We are, we have a part of the inheritance of Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. Family, what are we moping about today? And remember, when it comes to the horizontal, John 15, verses 12 to 15, John 15, verses 12 to 15, check this out. This is the one place I go to when it comes to fellowship with each other. This is my commandment. Again, not an option. It's a commandment. It's an imperative. It's my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Wow. You know, that's always been the thing that's really clear when it comes to the gospel. Christ gives us the standard, right? He doesn't just say, hey, love each other. Because love each other can be relative, can't it? Just, I love them enough. No. He gives us the standard. What's the standard? I want you to love each other the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this is what's awesome. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. Wow. Look at the fellowship that we have with the Father, with each other. The answer to one problem, you are never alone anymore. Even if you think you are, remember, and again, Christians, I know that there are times where we feel alone. We feel like there's just nobody around. There's nothing there. You need to understand and believe that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may feel alone sometimes, but you're never alone. Holy Spirit is with you. Fellowship with God and Christ takes care of life's spiritual loneliness. But again, it doesn't stop there. And here's an encouragement for all of us today. Another one of God's answers to life's loneliness is fellowship with other Christians through a local church. Christians have more in common with other Christians than they do with even unsaved friends who you have lots in common with. Did you know that? You know, that's one of the things I think is really interesting, how, you know, in church demographic and church growth studies and all of those types of things, it's like, you know what, like, what people like is people want to go to places where they have lots in common with each other, you know, where, you know, we got the same, similar age or similar interests or similar, the one I get is seasons in life. I want to go someplace where everyone, we're all in the same season in life. All of those things are artificial. It's all artificial. Do we not realize that if you are a person who says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have another person who says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have, no matter how different your age is, doesn't matter what season of life you're in, it doesn't matter what interests you have, it doesn't matter what clothes you wear or what style of clothes you wear, you have more in common with that individual than you do with anyone else. So much so, watch this, so much so, than even members of your own family. Do you know that? Remember, if you love your father, your brother, your mother, your children more than me, you are not worthy of me. Jesus talked about leaving father and mother to follow him. There is a fellowship among those who know Christ for all Christians in this world. There's a fellowship between us that's sweeter and closer than even blood relatives. You know, think about that. Think about it. I mean, I know that's a hard one. I mean, that's a hard one for me, especially when it comes to my family and unsaved relatives, that my relationship to you here, Central Baptist Church members here, my relationship to you is even closer than my relationship with some of my unsaved loved ones and family. And you know what? It's the sad truth, but it's the reality. You know, like it or not, guess what? You know, hey, Frank, like it or not, you are stuck with me for eternity. You know, Ken, you're stuck with me for eternity. So all the stuff that you don't like about me, get over it, brother. That this is the nature of true Christian fellowship. Okay, real quick. Number two, joy. John's joy would be complete when he shares mutual fellowship with his readers. So John is saying that when we have fellowship with you all, our joy is full. And John says this again in relationship to fellowship in 2 John 12, he says this, I have much more to say to you, but I don't want to do it with paper and ink, for I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face, then our joy will be complete. Do you know that John even writes Jesus's heart on the matter of joy? In John chapter 15, verse 11, John chapter 15, verse 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. John chapter 16, verse 24. John 16, 24. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. John 17, 13, my favorite chapter. John 17, 13. Now I'm coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. So you see, in all three examples, Jesus is concerned that the disciples' joy might be full or be filled. In two of these three references, Jesus speaks of my joy remaining in the disciples, that my joy might be fulfilled in the disciples. John is concerned that his joy and that of his readers and hearers may not be sustained, but may increase to fullness. In fulfillment of Jesus' words, when Christ's joy is fulfilled in us, our joy will be full. Man, isn't that amazing? This is what Christ's desire is for us, that we would be full of joy. So that's why we got to understand Christian joy is far removed from what is commonly understood as happiness today. Because happiness today is dependent upon outward circumstances. And happiness, sure, would be included in joy, but our joy is so much deeper and richer in meaning than just simple happiness. Right? Joy describes a reality in life of genuine satisfaction. Emotionally, spiritually, joy is a spirit of exultation regardless of our circumstances. And joy is the sense of supernatural strength that can only come from the Lord. Now, I know many of you have, you know, you've been on this walk for a long time. You know what I'm talking about when we talk about this strength that comes from the joy of the Lord. So all of a sudden, we have no idea where this strength came from. You know, one of the things that I always look forward to is I like some of the dreams that I have. You know, I'm at night, I'm sleeping, and I have these dreams where, you know, I'm doing, you know, well in ministry, things in ministry are doing well. And it's bizarre because, like, in these dreams where, you know, I'm doing ministry and I'm talking and I'm counseling and it's actually, like, helping, I have these moments where I'm also, like, dunking a basketball at the same time. You know, so I get done with this counseling session. Oh, it's great. And I can dunk the basketball. And then I can fly. You ever have those? Fly. And then you wake up in the morning after, you know, you have this time where you, in your dream, you had led this person to the Lord. And you wake up and you just, wow, let's do this. I'm ready. This strength, this exaltation, this satisfaction is there. And I know many of you guys have felt that even the supernatural strength that comes, not from anything that you drank or anything that you ate, but just sometimes you're just reading your Bible and you're just absolutely touched and you just got a jolt. I'm just like, man, our God is awesome. I'm ready to take on today. So what we're talking about, this joy that we have. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And Nehemiah continues, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, come on, family. You know, and in my experience, I have seen joyless eyes of people who profess to be Christians in many cities around the world. Remember, I was on tour. I saw this. We went on around the world when I was with the band, and not the world, but the U.S. with the band, and I've observed the joyless faces. I've seen even joyless faces in people in a third world country before, fighting and wrestling to make out an existence for themselves and their family, and I'd see faces without joy. Even those that are fortunate enough to have a decent economic standing, along with those who have everything and anything that money can buy, sometimes may experience happiness, but without God, through Christ, they can never experience genuine joy. Have you experienced and met people that were like that? You know, a person that I know, I guess they're a friend, very, very wealthy. Very, very miserable. I've never seen something like somebody could have so much money and be that miserable. That tells you something, doesn't it? Do you know there's a story about a man who was considered to be the wisest and the richest man who ever lived? He found out that when he sailed the high seas in life in an effort to find fulfillment, this man exhausted the world and everything in the world, and he discovered the bitter truth that in the end, every paycheck, the bottom of every bottle, the morning after every one-night stand, there was no joy. And you can read this story about this guy. You can read about it because he wrote it down in his personal memoirs called Ecclesiastes. The mighty Solomon struck out and he found that only God can grant joy to the human soul. So remember, family, that true joy can only be had by those who have been adopted into God's royal family through his son, Jesus, the King of Kings. The banner of joy will only fly over the castle of our lives when the King is in residence there. Joy is the only response of the soul that is rightly related to God through the knowledge of Christ as our Savior and our Lord. So today, Christian, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to rejoice over. There's a lot that we have. Life and life more abundant found in Christ and in Christ alone. We're talking about what John said here, everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now remember last week I talked about everlasting life. Don't look at everlasting life as this thing that, oh, that's what's going to happen to us when we die. When I die, I will experience everlasting life. What John is wanting us to see is that everlasting life isn't something that we experience when we die. Everlasting life, eternal life, is the life that we experience right now in Christ. Because every moment and every single day is sweeter in our life now than it would be without Christ. Every breath that we take now is so much sweeter than the life and the breath that we took before we had Christ in our life. Everything we do, everything we eat, everything we say, every relationship that we have, it's so much sweeter and so much better now that Christ is in our lives. So please, let's not, Christian, be walking around trying to explain to everybody, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but nothing is different. No, we are Christians and everything is different.
Well, Shane, I'm not sure. I look at my life and, you know, I say I'm a Christian and nothing has different, nothing has changed, nothing is better. Then, you know what, we need to probably have a conversation about whether you're really a Christian or not. You know, maybe we need to set up an appointment with you and the other elder, Don. You know, our elder Don here, and he can straighten it out. Here's the thing, family. When we become Christians and the Holy Spirit dwells within us, think about that. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We can't help but see a difference. How are you going to have a dead tree and a tree that has life and both of them look exactly the same? How is that even possible? It's not possible with Christ. This is what we're trying to say. This is what we've always been saying. This is what Christians have been saying for centuries. Life in Christ is beauty. Life in Christ right now, even in this world, it's life and life more abundant. There's so much more that we see, so much more than we experience, you know? You remember even things, little things like before we were Christians, just looking at the sunset changed, didn't it? I mean, just looking at the world changed. So my outlook on life with everything just changed. Christian, today we have reason after reason to rejoice and to be full of joy. Do you realize that when we became a Christian, not only do we become partakers of his divine nature, that we become co-heirs with Christ and we share in his inheritance? Do you realize that we have been adopted into the family of God, which means that you have been adopted into a family and you have family members all over the world? I'm sure many of you, when you've gone on mission trips, you know, I went to visit a family in a different country. I didn't even know who they were, never met them before. And man, that night we were having dinner and it was like we've known each other for years. Isn't it amazing what you can share when you're a Christian and you serve our Lord? We have life, and we have life more abundant. But I know, family, sometimes we do find it hard to get through the week. And getting through the week feeling full of joy and the joy of the Lord. A lot of times we struggle and we continue to feel as if we are controlled by our circumstances, controlled by issues that are surrounding us. This is not unusual. It happens. It happens a lot more than many of us would like for it to happen. I'm standing up here saying that we're not supposed to do it, but I'm guilty of it too. You know, things that I get, mopey over. Some of the things I get mopey over is like the stupidest things too. You know, like, you know, Broncos not making the playoffs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you feel like, you know, life is just horrible and it's just like I should just roll over and die. I get that. I understand that. And this is a continued struggle that we're going to have, a continued struggle that we have when it comes to the flesh. It's a continued struggle that we have when it comes to unbelief. It's a continued struggle that we have when it comes to sin. Sin in our own lives, sin in the lives of others, the effects of sin all over the world. It's now here and it will continue to be an issue. But family, we can have hope today. We can rejoice today, because that's why Christ came, was to set us free from the power of sin and the wages of sin. And be like, man, Shane, sometimes it's so hard. The world is just so hard. You know, I can't overcome the world. Well, Christ says, I know that you can overcome the world because I have overcome the world. Oh, man, I love that. Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin and the wages of sin. And there was a steep price to pay for our sins. We got to understand that. And all the dejection and depression concerning how things are in the world, the price of that was death. But the beauty of it all is the wonders of the gospel of Jesus, and that's why we can rejoice today. I can rejoice today because no matter what happens in this world, no matter what happens today, no matter what happens tomorrow, it can be the worst things that happen in life. We can see all kinds of calamity. We can see all kinds of trials. We can all see all kinds of tribulations. We can see all of the horrible things that happen in this life. But Christian, today we could stand and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, because of what Christ has done. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Family, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When all is said and done, when all is said and done, no matter what the world does, I love it, family. No matter what the world does, no matter what the world threatens, today, Christian, you can say, just like I can say, look at the world and say, you would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. There is not one hair that's going to fall from our head that the Heavenly Father is not going to know about. For those maybe hearing this for the very first time, know this. The Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. John said, I write these things to you so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you will have life in his name. Right there, right where you're sitting. Just cry out to the Lord today. Lord, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I turn away from my life before, and I'm coming after you. I seek after you. You are Lord of my life. I see that you are Lord. Right there. There may be some here today who say, you know, Shane, I did that, but man, I am just not been doing right. I'm always feeling down. I'm always feeling down in the dumps. I just am having a really difficult time believing. Well, yeah, the disciples asked Jesus, the same thing when they were feeling weak. Help our unbelief. And I'm believing today that the Holy Spirit will help us in our unbelief. That's really what it is. Really why we struggle with these types of issues is because of unbelief. So many distractions, so many things in this world that eat at our faith, eat at the truth. But here's the reality. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to bring it to completion at the day of the Lord. Do you know why I rejoice in that? I'm rejoicing in that because I recognize that all of this is not dependent on my ability, but dependent completely on what He has done. And for that, family, we can rejoice. This is why we have numerous declarations in the scriptures. Family, today, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.